Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Colin Carter Podcast, live in the studio. In the shadow of Mount Tipinogos here in Utah. Thank you so much for joining. Thanks so much for being a part of this. I'm having so much fun doing this. I went from speaking like seven times a day to nothing thanks to the virus. And it gets so boring. But I'm so grateful you're here today. Today is May. No one really knows. All of the days are just clobbed into just something, right? We had February lasted what seemed like a decade or two. April was like, wait, what? It's May? I don't even know what's going on. But anyways, thank you so much for joining and making this a part of your day. I hope all of you are staying safe and healthy. Yesterday was my 14th daughter's, what? My daughter's 14th birthday. I don't have 14 children. That would be a nightmare. Yesterday was my daughter, my oldest Avery. It was her 14th birthday. And it was so fun. And oh my gosh, we went all out. I'll be honest. I like throwing parties. It's just something I enjoy doing. I love making people's day, especially with my own family. And so we went all out. We had a backyard party for the family, and then her friends came over, rented a photo booth that looked like a spaceship, some Elon Musk would make. And we had an outdoor big movie, one of those inflatable whatever screens, and food. It was really fun. And my daughter, Avery, 14, I'll tell you what. One of my proudest things is the fact that she's 14, still no phone. No phone, no social media. And parents ask all the time, they're like, oh my gosh, how do you do it? And so I want to talk a little bit about that today because there's a lot of parents out there that are doing this. It's just that they're hiding in the shadows. They come up to me after parent nights and they're like, hey, I just want you to know my kids are the only kids that don't have phones either out of all their friends. And thank you for what you said, because finally I feel validated for what I've done. And I honestly think that over the next few years that this whole pendulum is going to swing all the way back. I hope it's faster than a few years. I hope it goes quicker. But the whole pendulum of giving kids smartphones and social media way too young, I hope the pendulum swings back. Because we got to let kids be kids again. I don't know what we're doing. I really don't. My second daughter is 11. And her friends, some of her friends already have smartphones. And I know kids are getting younger and younger than that. But I look at my 11-year-old. I mean, it was only a few years ago when she mastered bedwetting. How are we mastering the internet? How do we expect these kids to master the internet? How do we expect them to master to do okay on social media when they're 11? She's been around she's circled the earth or the sun 11 times. She's been alive for like 130 months? I just don't get it. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't go what we're doing, having kids, this stuff. And parents are like, why is my daughter struggling? Oh my gosh, she's 12. Why is she struggling so much with this? I'm like, okay, because you are, and you're an adult, and I am, and I'm an adult, and everyone is. Why do we think our kids are going to do any better with this stuff? Anyway, so my daughter turned 14 yesterday, and all of her friends came over. She's got a great group of friends. One thing about my daughter, though, is she is a homebody. She would rather hang out with us because we're cool. And we're always doing fun stuff. But she would rather hang out with us than go to a friend's house any day of the week. But she's got a good group of friends, and they're cute, and they came over. We had a lot of fun. And my daughter's the only one out of her group, it was like 12 girls over, that still doesn't have a phone. And parents ask me all the time, like, oh, does she feel left out? I mean, gosh, does she beg and cry and scream? Now, I don't know if this is just her or how we parented, but she has never asked for a phone. And when I ask her every few months and I say, hey, how are you doing? Like, I mean, are you okay with, you know, this whole, like, not having the phone thing? And the greatest thing is, when she was in junior high in eighth grade last year, when I asked her that one, she said, Dad, you know what? She said, I am proud to not have a phone. She's like, there's not a whole lot of ways to stand out anymore as a kid, especially in middle school when everyone's trying to, you know, figure out who they are and everyone's trying to try on new avatars every day. And you know how it is when you're in middle school. And she said, this is the only way I can really, one of the only ways I can really stand out. And now she's the cute, happy, fun girl who doesn't have a phone. Now she can call and text friends on mom's phone. We're okay with that. When we're in the same room or mom's in the same room, we never let them in the bedrooms. We never let them have, you know, total privacy on the app because she's just barely 14. And I don't believe that any of these kids should have full privacy at that age for this kind of stuff. Now, if they want to talk to their friends on FaceTime or make phone calls, which we make them do, if she starts texting and it's taking more than a couple minutes, we're like, all right, call them. This isn't going to work because kids need to learn how to talk. This whole texting constantly, I think is ruining a lot of our kids. Just abilities to have, be able to talk to each other, not just that, communicate, I think is robbing them of so much stuff. Conflict resolution and empathy. When kids are learning that they can only talk through a screen, they're missing body cues and all this stuff. They don't realize what they're saying could be hurtful because they can't see that kid on the other end saying, oh my gosh, that just hurt my feelings, because they can't see their face. And I blame a lot of the issues with bullying these days and cyberbullying and kids just, you know, people always like, kids are so mean to each other. Well, we've always been mean to each other. We're humans. Parents are more mean to each other than anyone. I'll tell you what. If you think kids are mean to each other, wait till you meet adults. And if you don't believe me, just go on YouTube or go on Facebook and go read some comments. I think I've blocked just this week on my Facebook page like 5 moms. They just say stuff. I won't even say anything at all that is inciting any negativity. And it just, people take every opportunity to just bloviate, hate, garbage, just spew their anger. I know it's a hard time, but geez. Don't take it out of me. If you want to go host a telethon on masks, or go bloviate on how much you hate this or that, or go share some broken YouTube link about someone who confirms your bias, like, go do that. Just don't put on my Facebook comments. Anyway, so where was I? So people ask me all the time, they're like, how did you do with your daughter? And my wife obviously did a lot of it, but you know what? We were A, lucky, because we've been low tech since day one. As soon as iPads came out and my kids were little and we're like, hey, why don't you look at this and play in this? Even after just one or two times of that, we're like, this doesn't look good. This is not going to be a good thing. We're not going to let these screens babysit and raise our kids for us. Especially, I was very cognizant of walking around and seeing other people with putting phones in their kids' faces at grocery stores when they cried. Like, I was like, that. I just knew. I was like, that's not going to turn out that very good. That's not going to be a good idea. So Avery, yeah, back to her 14 and 8th grade, just finished 8th grade and still no phone, no social media. I think one of the things that we've really instilled in our kids is that, look, this is technology that, yeah, it's not going anywhere, but we don't have to give it to you free willy-nilly, give it to you untethered access 24/7, because you're going to see it when you're older. That's probably the biggest thing I hear from parents. One of the biggest things I hear is that they're going to, the lame excuse of, well, they're going to see it when they're older. They're going to see it when they're older, Colin. Why not give it to when they're a kid? Okay, well, what about booze? Okay, what about vodka? What about weed? All these things that are too much dopamine for our kids to handle, like, they're going to see that too when they're in college. They're going to see booze. They're going to see that. They're going to see drugs if they haven't already. I'm not going to let my kids sip vodka tonics, you know, when they're 12, because they're going to see when they're 18. I just want to make sure they can hold their liquor. And so I think parents, we got to stop this lazy excuse that, well, they're going to see it all when they're older, or this is just their world. No. I refuse to accept this, that this is normal and we should just all fall into it. One of my favorite authors, Leonard Sachs, who wrote Girls on the Edge and who wrote Boys Adrift. Oh, and if you haven't read both those books, read them, especially if you have boys. Please, if you have boys, we'll do a whole series on just the book Boys Adrift. You have to read that book if you're raising boys. But he said something in that book. He said, if you want, I don't know how he said it word for word, but to paraphrase, I'm British. He said, if you want your kids to turn out differently, you have to parent differently than your neighbors today. You have to parent differently than all the neighbors do. And I hear that. And I know it's hard as parents. They message me all the time and they ask me, they say, well, what do you do? Because all of their friends are playing Fortnite for 8 hours a day at their friend's house. And they come home crying. They feel bad. Or my 11-year-old comes home crying because she didn't have TikTok and all of her friends have it. So what? Right? I'm sorry, but I think a lot of parents today have kind of mentally checked out on some of this technology, because parents are just as hooked, and it's really hard to accept the fact that, you know, I'm hooked to this drug and I need to, you know, I might as well give my kids to it, you know, let them have it too, and then they'll leave me alone so I can have more of my fun. But you have to parent differently today. We've had to do a lot of talking. Now, Avery doesn't have a phone. She doesn't have social media, but she knows what porn is. She knows what sexting is. And we talk about this every few days, because it's just like with anything else, with alcohol, drugs, booze, all that bad stuff that they're going to see when they're older, that we're not giving to them when they're 12 or 13, or in her case, 14. We're talking about it all the time. We see something on a phone. I have TikTok on my phone. I don't have an account. I have Snapchat. I don't have things like that. And I'll just scroll through with her sometimes. I'll be like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about these girls dancing like this on TikTok? And we ask her, talk to her about it, right? If I gave her Instagram and TikTok right now or in seventh grade, it would have ruined her life. And that's what it's doing to so many girls. Now, I'm a dad girl, a girl dad. What? A girl dad. I have three girls and a boy. He's my youngest. And so I've been raising girls for a while here. And I don't know girls perfectly or even close, but I think I've got some of them dialed in. But I think the worst thing for a middle school girl is a smartphone with social media. Now, I read an article that I want to talk about today. And I read this a long time ago, and it literally changed my life. It's from Amy Marin. And it was posted on Psychology Today by Dr. Vicky Dunkley, Victoria Dunkley. Why'd I call her Vicky? It's like we're friends. What's up, Vic? Dr. Victoria Dunkley, who wrote Reset Your Child's Brain, which is a great book. It's like a step-by-step. If your kid and you made the mistake, now you know, of giving them iPads and phones all the time when they were toddlers, and now they're 11, 12, 13, and now they're super soaked in and you're struggling, this is a book you got to read because it is the brain has been rewired by that point. The screens, the games, I don't care if it's Fortnite, I don't care if it's Instagram or Minecraft, it has rewired the brain. New pathways have been created, and you're going to have to reset that brain. So go get her book, Reset Your Child's Brain. But there's an article she shared that I read a long time ago, and it just, I was like, yes, yes, and yes, validation. I will continue to push through not giving my kids smartphones or social media. And it was called Why Social Media is Not Smart for Middle School Kids. Subtitle, tween brains are simply too immature to use social media appropriately. Now, I want you to go back to when you, if you're a parent, when you were in middle school, I know some of you are already freaking out by the thought or notion of that, right? You're in your Gerbo jeans, right? You got your Guess shirt. You got your Esprit. Who had the Esprit? Was it Esprit? Esprit. Yeah, that Esprit, like a hoodie. Middle school is already really, really hard. None of us knew who we were. And in middle school, that's kind of where you really stop caring so much about what your parents think and really start caring about what your friends think, right? And here's the big things from this article. So here's what kids want in middle school, right? A, to be funny at all costs, right? Anytime funny, don't even think about it. Say something stupid, do something stupid, get a laugh. Number two, middle school, that's when the transition becomes, you know, start getting really, really self-centered, right? Worrying about how they look and how they dress, you know, doing their hair differently, whatever. Focusing more on self. Now, humans, of course, were very narcissistic. Is that a word? Narcissistic. But really, I think in middle school is where the kind of the brain and everything starts changing, focusing on self. Now, number three here, in middle school, really start to try new things, playing dress up with your identity, trying on to see what fits. Kids at that age, very impulsive and scattered, it says here. And so middle school, so let's think about that, right? When we give our kids access to social media, and then let's say I gave Avery a smartphone and Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok at that point. I know some kids, now I have four kids. I think some of my kids, just based on their personality, could do okay if I would have given them social media at that age. Avery, my oldest, I know it would have destroyed her. She, no matter how hard I try, she cares what people think. What people think about her. She's very, very sensitive. And she's just too sweet for me to give this to her. So number one, out of the reasons of this article entitled Why Social Media is Not Smart for Middle School Kids. Number one, social media was not designed for them. A tween's underdeveloped prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain at the very front. If you touch your forehead, put your finger on your forehead right there. Just go ahead and rub it right between your eyes, kind of, right where your Botox went in. Right behind that is the prefrontal cortex, which is in charge of things like logic, executive function, making good decisions, all the things it takes for your kid to not make horrible decisions. That underdeveloped, that part of the prefrontal cortex brain, which we'll talk about a whole bunch some other time. I'm not a neurologist, but I've read enough on this. That part of the brain won't be developed for my daughter till like 24 to 25. So at 14, she's like just over 50% there. When you start teaching responsible use of tech now, know that you will not be able to teach the maturity that social media requires. So we're handing kids with literally a half stack of cards, with half a deck of cards. Technology that brains that are fully developed can't even handle, right? And one of the things that's so hard when I get kids message me, and I get so many messages when I'm speaking, especially when I'm at schools, it's like hundreds a day, and kids tell me everything they're going through. One of the hardest things is when I see kids that are struggling, and then I go, you know, ask them about their family and ask them about their parents, and they, you know, talk about their mom, and then they tell me how much their mom is struggling with this stuff too. So of course our kids can't handle this. Number two, social media is entertainment technology. It does not just make your child smart. It doesn't make your child smarter or prepared for real life or a future job, nor is it necessary for healthy social development. Did you hear that? It is not necessary for healthy social development, but that's how they talk to each other, right? They have to text. If they're on Snapchat, they're not socializing. Now, I do believe that there, to a degree, is some benefits in being able to do that. I see my daughter's eyes light up when mom hands her mom's phone and lets her text some of her friends on some of these text chains. But who are we kidding? There's no real socializing going on. This is pure entertainment attached to a marketing platform, extracting bits and pieces of personal information and preferences from your child every time they use it. Now, we're not going to get that conspiracy of, oh my gosh, you know the TikTok is owned by China and they're collecting data on your kids and they're selling it. Because I hear this and people have been sending me that article. Did you know the TikTok is owned by China and they're spying on our kids and taking that data? Do you know that that's what's been going on with every app since the beginning of smartphones? So if you're freaked out about that one, let me tell you about this little company called Facebook. Ooh. But the deal is with that is that this is all entertainment technology. Okay, I do believe that there's a good spot for the tech with using it for good stuff, for learning. My friend Katie McPherson, who's an educator speaker, she says there's digital protein and digital Skittles. Now, digital protein are learning, right? Using it for schoolwork or research or studying or watching YouTube videos of how to learn how to change a tire or whatever, you know, whatever kids are wanting to learn. But digital Skittles is what most this phone is being used for. Digital Skittles, things like scrolling TikTok nonstop for hours and hours a day. Digital Skittles like, you know, DS or playing these games, Minecraft, Fortnite. There's nothing proving that any of those things are actually helping these kids. There's actually one study I did find, which I'll try and cite later. But there was one study I found from technology and screens with kids growing up. One thing it did help was with pattern recognition. That was it. Being able to recognize patterns. Which I don't know if that's like going to like a fabric store and be like, oh, that's gingham and that's... Mm. So social media is just entertainment technology. I see too many of these kids that are just heads down and they're not socializing at all and they're not learning. They're just sucked into this algorithm. They're sucked into the technology. And they're just throwing their life away. And parents are letting it happen. And it's really sad to watch. Now, last night at the birthday party, I was talking to my wife right before. And I'm like, hey, do you want to do a bucket? Do you want to do the phone check-in? Do you want to do a little basket and put a little sign up and just make all the girls? Usually we do that if friends come over. Put a little bowl and we say, hey, put your phones here and go play and go have fun. Which they love, by the way. If you have a lot of teenagers, if you're the cool house, and you see they come over and just want to stare at their phones, get a basket, put out there, put a little sign. Hey, this is the little phone cubby or the phone jail. And the kids love it. And if you really want to spice it up, get a charging dock so they can all charge their phones while they're sitting there. So it's like a 2-for-1. They get to have more fun as kids and play with each other and not look at their phones. And they get their phone charged when they leave. So my wife, she's like, do you want us to do that? She's like, you know, I think we have too much stuff planned. I think they're going to be okay. And they were having fun. They were out there playing. We did a scavenger hunt around the neighborhood, which they loved. Yeah, I don't know. Do you remember doing that when you were in middle school? Get a big sheet of paper and put a bunch of weird items on it, like a dead battery, a quarter, a candy bar, whatever. And then they split up in teams and they run around. Now I had it where the winning team, whoever came back with all 10 items, and you had to get one from each house. You couldn't cheat. I was getting like $5 each, which they freaked out. They came back 20 minutes later, just like huffing and puffing, dying. They're all sweating, couldn't breathe, red face. They saw a big group of like 14-year-old girls. Oh my gosh. But anyways, it was the most fun they had in a long time. So anyways, back to this. So my wife's like, should we put all the phones away? I'm like, I said that. And she's like, no, they're going to have so much fun. You know, they're probably not going to pull out their phones. But then at the end, we put up the movie and yeah, they were watching it. And then about, you know, halfway into Spider-Man, you know, some phones came out and I saw some faces light up. We did this in the backyard. And it was so interesting to watch the difference. The girls who were laying on the ground with the blankets and the pillows who were watching and talking to each other. I don't think they even cared about the movie at all. And then you look off to the side and there's a couple girls who are just like that phone straight 2 inches from their face, bright as a, just lighting them up. These glow kids just checked out and you know, on Snapchat, whatever. Just sad to watch. So number three on the reasons why it's middle schoolers should not have social media. Number three, a tween's more is better mentality is a dangerous match for social media. More is better. That is the game of social media. That is the lesson they teach kids. You need more, 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 more. You want to be liked. You want to have value. You want to have a voice. What does Kim Kardashian do? What do these people do? How do you get more likes? How do you go viral on TikTok? You got to dance. You got to take off clothes. You got to be as scantily dressed as possible to get more, 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 more. I'll get messages from kids after I speak at elementary school, like fourth, fifth graders, and I'll just click on their Instagram profile, and literally it'll say everything about them, and then it'll say, I'm at 50 followers, goal, 55 followers by X date. This kills me. I think if you look at what has been one of the most destructive things to our generation and to this generation, besides social media, now, of course, there's good stuff too, but I think one of the most destructive things that has ever been created is the like button. When on earth did the like button turn into gold, digital gold? Not just for adults, because adults, you fall into it too. How many of you actually go check your likes? And you get that hit of dopamine, you feel amazing, and then, you know, you post something, doesn't get a lot of likes. I know grown women that are married with kids that will post something, doesn't get enough likes, they'll delete it. And then they hear teenagers do that, and they're like, why would they do that? That's so sad. Adults are doing it. And when you're a teen, a tween, when you're going into 6th, 7th, 8th grade, that brain is already being developed in a way where more is better already, right? So you see these girls that have 1,500 friends on social media and no one in real life to talk to. And that's what's really sad. Number four, social media is an addictive form of screen entertainment. Now, we can talk about video games as one of the most addictive forms of entertainment, and this has all been done deliberately. If you don't believe me, go read my favorite book, which I have 20 copies on my desk right here, called Glow Kids by Dr. Nicholas Carderis. This is the book we read 2.5 years ago, which made us go totally screen-free. We have one TV at our house. We chucked iPads. We chucked Kindles. We chucked all the gaming consoles because we read that book called Glow Kids. After I learned about how this is all being done deliberately, how kids are being exploited, the brains are being exploited to keep them in that game or on that app as long as possible. Now, we know that happens to adults, but the fact they're doing it to kids too does not sit well with me. It is an addictive form of screen entertainment, and just like gaming addiction, early use can set up future addiction patterns and habits. Did you hear that? This is one of the biggest reasons why I'm not giving my kids access to this stuff right now. Because if their brain is half developed and the pathways are being created, if we throw something addictive into that system where they know that they're going to keep going to get that hook, to get that dopamine from this digital form, I don't care if it's a drug, if it's booze, or if it is technology, it is the same dopamine to the brain. If your kid is scrolling TikTok, getting hammered with dopamine constantly, that brain at 12 or 9 does not know the difference. This dopamine you're getting came from TikTok. This dopamine you're getting came from Coke. It doesn't matter. And so anytime you give your kids this technology, you're going to have to unwire their brain eventually. Number five, social media replaces learning the hard social work of dealing face-to-face with peers, a skill that they will need to practice to be successful in real life. Let's just chalk this up to reason 7,000 why I'm not giving my kids access to this stuff yet. I think as we look at this generation of young people, as we look at skyrocketing anxiety and skyrocketing depression, suicide ideation, self-harm, humans are social beings. And this social media, which has been con, which I think is a big fat con, social media as being social is a huge oxymoron. There's nothing social about having 1,500 friends on Instagram or going, quote, viral on TikTok and sitting in your room alone and having no one to talk to. Or even worse, having a family who you're supposed to have social connection and face-to-face with when you come home and everyone's on their screens at dinner or at home before bed. And so this is what is this doing? We look at rise of cyberbullying. We look at fights breaking out, kids filming on Snapchat. We look at just the overall level of meanness skyrocketing this country. I think so much of that is because kids are not face-to-face communicating. There's not the face-to-face being able to just text a breakup to someone, being able and not do it face-to-face is just robbing kids of being able to deal with this. What is going to happen to this generation when they become adults, when they go get a job, when they're in the real world and they have to deal with conflict and they've never learned how to do it face-to-face? I tell parents all the time, after parent nights, when I'm in a city, they come up to me and they show me their if they brought their kids. And they're like, hey, we love what you said. And this is my these are my three kids. And they're 16, 13, and 12. And they don't have phones or social media yet. I shake their hands. I shake their mom's hand. And I say, you know what? You kids are going to be able to write your own ticket. If you keep this up, you're going to be able to write your own ticket in this world. The kids who have been able to learn to communicate face-to-face, to resolve conflict face-to-face, to be able to deal, to be able to break up with a boyfriend, girlfriend face-to-face, to be able to express their emotions face-to-face, to be able to deal with the bullies in their lives face-to-face, are going to write their own ticket as they grow up and become adults. These are going to be the leaders and the CEOs and the people everyone wants to work with and work for. Number six, social media can cause teens to lose connection with family and instead view friends as their foundation. Since the cognitive brain is still being formed, the need for your teen to be attached to your family is just as important now as when they were younger. Make sure that that attachment is strong. While they need attachment to their friends, they need healthy family attachments more. We hear this term conscious parenting. When I posted a photo of my daughter yesterday, 14, happy birthday, still no phone, no social media. And she looks beautiful and she's smiling because that's how she is 90% of the time. The other 10%, she's usually, still happy, but, being a teenager. And my parents messaged me, they said, oh my gosh, I can't believe, how did you do that? That must have been some serious conscious parenting. Parenting today is not easy. It takes so much work. I don't have hobbies. I don't really have much friends besides you guys. My hobbies are my family. My friends are my kids. And that was the choice I made. I think I golf maybe once a year. I just started taking fishing, but only if my kids are with me. But this has become, I've realized that in order to be a dad, to be able to raise the kids that we want, to be able to help them become good, solid adults one day, the family matters more than anything. And I see a lot of families that are pushing their kids off onto different caregivers and to different tribes, pushing their kids off onto coaches and teachers and every extracurricular under the sky to take a little. Now, I know it's hard to be a parent, and it's so much easier to let someone else do it for you. They need to get all this at the home. They need to have the foundation at the house with the families. And I tell you what, when you give your kid a smartphone, there's one direction they're going to go, and that's going to be farther away from you. I'm still waiting for parents to message me this comment. Oh, giving my daughter that smartphone and Snapchat and TikTok when she was 11, 12, 13 was a great decision. It brought her closer to me. I actually saw an improvement in her behavior and her attitude. I'm still waiting to hear that message, because so far it's never, ever been that. You think giving her a smartphone, giving your kid a smartphone is going to make them like you more? It might for a day, You think it's going to make them love and adore you more and want to spend more time with you, or maybe for a day. But there's only one direction it's usually going to go, and it's going to be further away from you. Number 7, social media use represents lost potential for teens. While one can argue there are certain benefits of social media for teens, the costs are very high during the teen years when their brain development is operating at peak performance for learning new things. It is easy for teens to waste too much time and too much of their brain in the digital world. And now we know from so many studies, it's nearly impossible to balance this all. We've already put so much on our kids' plates with just life, with school, extracurricular activities. It is exhausting to be a young person today. Having to handle school and friends at school and dance or soccer or all the above and family, then you throw on top social media at that age and having to deal with keeping up with messages and going through posts and replying and posting and making everything perfect. It's crushing. It's too much. I will have no problem with my daughter who's 14 yesterday. I will have no problem with her getting on social media when she's older, when she's, you know, more mature, and she has a more sense of herself. She knows who she is a little bit more than she does right now. Give some time for that prefrontal cortex to develop a little bit more. But right now, it's just too much. So do your kids a favor and really think about that. Now, how can kids slow down? This next part of this I love. So here's the four tips, five, six, seven, eight. Well, let's go through fast. How can kids slow down? So number one, bit of advice, and which is my advice too, which is number one, delay access. The longer as parents, the longer that you can wait, the longer that you can wait to give your kids access to this stuff where they're wiser, smarter, more mature, the better off your kid will be. That is number one. When parents say, what is the right age for me to give my kid a smartphone? I say, A, what is the proper age? A, when are you okay with them to start looking at porn? That's number one. Because when you give your kid a smartphone and they're going to have the internet in their pocket, they're going to look at porn. So what age are you okay with them to start looking at porn? Number two, when should you give your daughter access to Snapchat, TikTok, Instagram? Okay, when are you okay with her to A, start hating how she looks as a person, to start feeling worthlessness, and to start feeling anxiety? Because those two just come hand in hand, okay? Pornography or being exposed to explicit content, things that is way too old for them to look at that age. And number two, to start feeling anxiety and question their self-worth, because that's what these things do. So delay, delay, delay. You have to do things differently than your neighbor's friends do, than your kids' friends' parents do. You have to do things differently to keep your kids safe, happy, successful today. Number two, follow their accounts. Okay? She says your social media privacy is not a, social media privacy is a lie. There's nothing private in the digital world. I have had parents talk to me, not to my face, but through messages, say things like, well, my son deserves their privacy. Now, yes, they deserve privacy. Parents, can you imagine if your parents were able to read every text you sent? Now, we didn't have text back then, but can you imagine if your parents were able to hear everything you said to your friends? Yikes. I do not think you should be monitoring everything your kids said. When parents are like, oh, I need the app to be able to monitor, you know, every deleted text. Like, come on, really? Like, let's not die on every hill. But you need to understand that there's no such thing as social media privacy. If you give your kid a smartphone, you've got to put software on that. Something like Bark or some of these amazing apps, where you've got to put some software on there to be able to monitor words that are being sent or used. Parents have saved their kid's life from this software, because they're being sent, they're being bullied, or they're commenting, or they're saying things of suicide ideation. Follow their accounts. And if they won't let you follow them, I don't care. Catfish your kids. Set up an account. Grab some random photo. Call it Tanner Loves to Fly Fish 49. Follow your kids and don't chime in on everything you see. Okay, don't die on every hill. Don't post, oh, do you think that your mom would feel okay with that? Number three, create family accounts. instead of individual teen accounts. That's a really good idea, right? Training wheels. Don't throw them into the deep end when they're two to learn how to swim. Number four, allow social media only on the large screens. I think this is a great idea. You can get there's desktop versions of these, right? They don't need to have a little 4-inch screen in their pocket. They can hide in their bedroom. So maybe think about allowing it only on the laptop, which is in the kitchen, right? When kids know they're being monitored to some degree, they're going to make a lot smarter decisions. When I knew my dad wasn't paying attention is when I got into trouble. Number five, keep a sharp eye on the clock because they're not going to. Again, just realize that the people in Silicon Valley are really, 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 really good at sucking every second they can. There's a whole business around this. It's called Persuasion Design. Persuasion Labs. They're all over Silicon Valley. And they are so good. They have PhDs that work on the other side of that screen that are so good at keeping your kids hooked. So keep an eye on the clock because they're not going to. The average teen spends about 9 hours a day on a screen. 9 hours. That's crazy. I've seen way higher than that. I've had kids message me and show me their screen time report from a week ago, and it was like 94 hours. I mean, that's 2.5 full-time jobs. Number six, plan face-to-face time with your friends. Okay. Again, they don't need 1,500 friends, quote, on Snapchat or TikTok. Kids don't need 100 pennies worth of friends. They need 4 quarters. That's what they need. And parents, you have got to plan stuff. Okay. We have to be very, very engaging as parents. What we do with our kids' friends is we plan stuff, right? And it's not just come over and hang out. It's like, you know, bowling, or it's go out and do stuff. Now, obviously, if you're in COVID or in quarantine, you can't do that stuff. But you've got to plan stuff with their friends. Number seven, spend more time and real non-tech time together. There are studies all over the place showing that teens who are attached to their parents as they grow up are happier and more successful, that are spending time doing quality things. So what does that mean? I mean, that can be anything. Even if it's just sitting on the floor and talking about life. One thing my wife is so good at is just spending time just letting the kids talk. I'll be out of town and I'll be like, hey, what'd you do tonight? Oh, Avery's on the bed with me for 2 hours just talking about whatever. There's no rush. They just talk. One thing I do when I'm home is at night I will go lay in all my kids' beds for at least 5 minutes and just lay there and just talk. Sing a song, say bedtime prayers, but just talk and just listen. So spend some more real non-tech time together, going out, hikes, fishing, all that kind of stuff. Your kids need to feel... they need to have a break from school. They need to have a break from the drama. They need to have a break from the texting and from keeping up all that stuff. If they're going to have that stuff, they're going to have that technology, they need a break from it. And you have to make that break happen. Okay. Have a fire. Go cook pizza. Go play Uno. Do you have any Uno games we've played? I should be sponsored by now. So spending more real non-tech time together. Put your phone down. I tell parents one of my challenges after parent nights is to make one night, starting with one night a week, as a no tech time and have the kids decide what day that is. So is it Tuesday? Is it Saturday? Whatever day it is, you know, just tell the kids, hey, 5 to 9, 5 to bedtime, no phones out, no tech. Put all the iPads in a basket, put them all in the drawer, and just spend some time with each other. So Avery's 14, and I love her to death. And I get emotional thinking about her because I have 4 years left. That's it. 4 years. And she's gone. Not gone, but she's gone from the house. She's gone from our wings, from our protection. As much as I am doing my wife and I to keep her safe, I know it's a battle. I know we can't do it perfectly. I don't expect to. We have talked all the time, though. But you only have 940 Saturdays from birth. I hear that. I think of that number all the time, 940. You have 940 Saturdays from birth to 18. That's it. That's all we have. And what we do in the home is what's going to decide how our kids are as humans, the success they have, and the days of letting technology and letting the excuse that this is just how it is. You just have to... everyone else is doing it. This is just the norm. Those days are gone. Those excuses are done. We have got to be intentional parents, conscious parents, and be our kids, not best friends. They don't need us to be their best friends. They need us to be their parents. They have friends. We can be friendly. We can be friends. Definitely best friends with my kids. But we have got to be their parents first. I'm so grateful that I have a wife who is so intentional with parenting. She's set an example for me, constantly reminding me to make sure I'm doing a better job. Just the other day, after I had a bad day and I was being a total brat to everyone in the house, reminded me that I need to go apologize. I need to go apologize to the kids. And so I do, and we do it all the time. We go in and apologize, and I said, hey, you know what? Dad was the worst today, and I sucked today, and I'm so sorry. You guys did not deserve any of that. You did not deserve me being grumpy. And I think when we do that, when we show our kids it's okay as parents to not be perfect, that's huge. That's a great way to build trust with your kids. You can find out more about what I'm doing on Instagram at Colin Karcher. Thank you so much for joining today. Keep your kids safe. Go give them an 8-second hug. Thanks for joining. We'll see you next time.